How are you doing, church? Happy New Year! If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Psalm 37 and verse 5? Psalm 37 and verse 5. This morning we're going to look at just one verse, but we're going to break it down into three ways. Happy New Year! 2010, the best year the Lebanon and Free Will Baptist Church has ever had. Amen. Boy, I believe that God will bless us according to our faith. Amen. It's what we believe in. It's what we practice. This morning, the title of our time together is Going the Distance. Going the Distance. Say that with me this morning. Going the Distance. That's what we're going to do this morning. Many of us this morning have made a ton of resolutions. If you've made a resolution this morning, will you just raise your hand? Raise them up high where I can see them. I'm counting about maybe 9. All right. Everybody else has got everything in place, intact. No need of change, and you've done figure. You've tried it so many times it don't work anyhow. All right, okay. Well, we're straight. Well, I'm basing my message around your resolution, so we're in trouble. No, here we go. We're still going to go the distance. Amen? Amen. All right, this morning, I want to share with you probably the reason many of us don't make a resolution or make a commitment. If there's any time of the year to do it, it's now for many people, because it's the turning over the leaf. It's beginning a new year, a fresh start, the mentality that's been set in man. Well, to do that, in order to do that, most of us realize we have to rely on a power that is greater than ours. We have to rely on a source that is plentiful and abundant. And this morning, I want to show you a way in God's Word that will help us. Now, church, I want to bring your attention to something. There are many churches that surround us and are around us in the areas, in joining counties and cities that are falling apart. You need to know that this morning. They are falling apart at the seams. I would say, if Satan is working anywhere, he's working in the Bible Belt right now. And what's left? Now, the Bible Belt is not as prominent as it once was, but it is still an area where people still have a fear and reverence for God. But now, how can we as a church in 2010 assure our safety? How can we take this year, and not only individually, but collectively as a church, make sure that we are not a church? Now listen, the reason I mention it, because it can happen anywhere at any time. We probably have some people in our congregation this morning who would stand up and testify, "Preacher Mac, I'll tell you right now, I never saw it coming, I never thought it would have happened, but it happened." That church no longer stands united, it stands divided. We need to be aware of that. We need to be cautious of that. Our guard must always be up. And this morning, not only can we look together in your home, in your own personal life, but in our church, because this church means something to me. It means a lot to me. And this morning, we're going to look at a way this morning. So if you're interested this morning and you're concerned, I want you to tune in very closely this morning as we look at the Word of God. I want to read it to you this morning. Psalm 37 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." I'm going to read that again. Commit thy way. That means all of you. Not just the whole church, but all of your ways. Everything you do. Not just here. Not just those 3 hours a week or 4 hours a week. But everything you do has to be committed unto the Lord. Now watch. Then it says, "Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." Well, let's take this verse. It's broke up into three sections already for us. Look with me at the first part this morning. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Now, why should we do that? Number one, first and foremost, let's think realistically for a minute. Let's just be human for a minute if we can. Why should I commit my way to God? What's He ever done for me? Is He real? I mean, does He even exist? I mean, I've never seen Him, have you? Some people hear his voice audibly. You know how you hear my voice now? Some people's heard him that way. I do not deny that. But I'm going to tell you right now, as a minister of the word, I've never heard it personally. But when he speaks to me, the Bible says that the sheep will know the shepherd's voice. He speaks to your heart. That's how he speaks to you. And he knows the cry of the sheep. It goes both ways. Those who are really the shepherd and those who are really the sheep. But I've never heard him. So therefore, I've never seen him. I've never heard him. Is he real? I mean, because truth be known, there's not a person in here this morning that warms a pew that has not had the thought before they were Christian and after they are Christian and maybe just as early as yesterday, is God real? That question is in our mind. Now, we blame it on the devil. But you need to remember, you're human. Is he real? Well, then, wait a minute, preacher. You're asking me to commit my way, everything I do, to God? Well, that's what David, the psalmist here, is asking everybody to do. Not just one. There's a song that Casting Crowns sings, you know, what if God's church really prayed? See, that's the thing. We make resolutions, but it don't last. But God's people don't pray. Because if you did, you see mountains move. When's the last time you really seen a mountain be moved? Your prayer won't move the mountains, but your faith and prayer in God, and He'll move the mountain. You know why God is not impressed to move the mountain? Because you haven't impressed Him. What if God's church really prayed? Now that means you got to take your eyes off of everybody else and put it on your life and commit your way. What if God's people really read the Bible, those basic instructions before leaving Earth? What if you really, 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 really read that? Boy, you'd be so in tune with God and His will and His way. But you know why God a lot of times don't fulfill His word in your life? It's because you don't fulfill your life in the word. Why should He? But He committed Himself unto us first. There's a song we sing. It says, you know, oh, how I love Him. I love Jesus because He first loved me. Well, He's asking you, I love God. This is what I base my life around. I will never ask you to do anything that I won't do or attempt myself. You can believe that about me. That's just the way it is. I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm telling you, I will not ask you to do something that I have not done or going to do. I'm telling you that I respect that. And I believe people have to respect that. So what He did was, before any of you were ever asked this question, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He did it first. He committed Himself unto us. And now in return He says, commit all of thy way unto the Lord. But we're not the first ones who's been asked this, nor are we the first ones who's done it. Watch this. Job, when confronted by his so-called friend, Eliphaz, it says in Job 5:8, he says Job, and he sees Job, and he's lost all of his wealth and all of his health and all of his family's gone. He looks over him and accuses him of something he did not do. But he says, I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause. And then he goes on to say in the very next verse, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. God can take you wherever you be. He says, if you'll just commit your call unto me, I will do marvelous and great things in your life. Unsearchable things. But why is it? I'm telling you, don't it drive you crazy? Don't you? Don't. Sometimes you don't like yourself, do you? Let's be honest. Am I lying? There's some time I don't like man. And there's a lot of time you don't like man. Maybe even right now. But the thing is, I know what's right and I know what I need to do and I know the answer to my problem, but I'll go all the way around to do it another way. Wasting my time, my life, my hair, my mind, everything else. I'm losing it when God said, just commit your way to me. Commit everything to me. Entrust in me with what you've got. So look at this. Job was asked to do that. But Psalm 31:5, David does this. He says, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me." Church, say amen. And it says here, "O Lord God of truth." Even David. Now think about these men for a minute, Job, David. How many of us would love to be half the men they were? How did they do it? How did Job persevere? How did he make it? Why didn't he cuss God and die? Because he had already committed his whole way. How did David do it in all that he suffered and all that he went through? And I know he sinned and there's circumstances for that. But how did he do it? He said, "Because I commit my way to you, God." If we're going to make it, it's because we committed it. But it doesn't stop there. Luke 23:46. "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." Even Jesus entrusted his spirit into the hands of the Lord, the Father. To realize that without any control in my life, all of the variables that I cannot decide, he says, "I'm going to take the safest, most wisest approach I've ever taken. And I'm going to commit my whole way, every path, every decision, every job, every habit that I'm trying to break. I'm trying to read my Bible, preacher Mike, but I'm telling you, it is like the hardest thing in the world, committed to God. Preacher Mike, I'm trying to pray, but I've got this spirit against praying. I don't know what committed to God." See, haven't you realized thus far your way's not getting it done? I think we can agree to that. Then commit it to the one who can. I love this part. Look at this. It breaks this verse down. We're just going to sit right here on Psalm 35:7. Watch this. The Hebrew implies a dual action in the very first part where it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." I want to share with you that dual action this morning. This is in the Hebrew. It says, "Reveal thy way unto the Lord." This is the first one. Listen to this. The first way that we commit ourselves to Him, because a lot of times we say, "I don't know how to do it. Where do I start?" He says, you begin in the Hebrew by revealing your way to Him. This is what you've got to do. Listen, if you're going to leave here fully committed unto God, and you're going to enjoy the best year you've ever lived with the happiness, with the peace of God in your life, listen, they can be ripping the members of your body off this year because you will not renounce your faith in the living Lord Jesus Christ. But you can have peace and joy in your life because He lives in you. And it is that kind of happiness. I've already learned. If you want to be popular, you preach happy. If you want to be not so popular and see more blue in the pew, you preach holiness. Amen! But listen, the only way we're going to get there is because of His holiness. Listen, it says this, boy, I like this. Watch this now. Are you with me this morning? Listen, I know you stayed up late watching bowl games this week. I know you stayed up late and watched the ball drop the other night. I know you've got so much for Christmas, you don't know where to put it. But you're going to have to do a little bit of preaching before you go back to all that. Amen? And truth be known, it's going to be in better shape when you get there because you're going to commit it all to Him this morning. I have faith in you. But it says here, reveal thy way. You know what you got to do in order to reveal it unto the Lord? You got to expose yourself to Him. You've got to break your concealment. Expose yourself. I love the story in Genesis 45 where Joseph, in verses 1 through 3, I'll read it to you. "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptian in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence." It said that Joseph made himself known unto his brother. It means he removed his garment and he showed them standing on the Egyptian side that he was a circumcised Jew. and that he were the brother of the one his brother sold to Egypt. He exposed himself. And in order to commit thy way to the Lord, you have got to learn to reveal all of yourself. Break the concealment in your life and give it all to God. Secondly, you must also explain yourself to him. Listen, there's too much assumption going on today. And you know what assuming does? It makes donkeys out of both parties. Amen? Come on. Can I get a glory? That ain't good enough. We might as well stop right here. Y'all ready to go home? Can I get a glory? Oh, we'll stay a little while. Amen. Listen, it says you got to explain yourself to him. And it says that in James 4 and 2, James encourages, he says, ye lust and have not. How many of you lust after things and you ain't got it yet? Come on. He's telling you how to get it done. He says, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Can't get it. But he says, ye fight and war, yet ye have not. You can imagine, you wait till we get to heaven. He's going to say, you warred yourself and worried yourself right out of life. He said, I had the answer, and here it was. He says, ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. All you got to do is ask him. But in order to do that, you got to explain. It is your God-given responsibility to explain yourself to God. Don't just assume. Don't just say he knows all about it. Well, he does. But him knowing you as a lost person don't make you saved. You've got to come plead your case. You've got to confess. And you've got to commit thy way unto the Lord. You must expose yourself in revealing yourself unto the Lord. But you also have to explain yourself. You have not today because you ask not today. Matthew 7:7 says, ask. And it shall be given. Knock, and you shall find. Seek, and it shall be opened unto you. Amen? I'm telling you this morning, we have to ask him. And James, very boldly, I love James. James is straight up in your face kind of fellow. He says, you have not because you ask not. He said, you're warring, you're fighting, and you're not obtaining. Your approach, he says, your lust is not getting it. He said, but if you'll ask, you'll find. And we find that. Reveal thy way unto the Lord by exposing it and explaining. Listen, if you're not willing to confide in God, you're in trouble. I'm telling you, friend, if you're going to expose yourself, you're going to break the concealment. If you're going to explain yourself, you're going to build up confidement. Confide yourself unto the Lord. Confide in him. And watch what he does. Secondly, then, this dual action of the Hebrew interpretation of commit thy way unto the Lord. It is not only reveal, but roll thy way unto the Lord. Let me give you a metaphor that may stick in your mind today. There's a metaphor that's given here about a camel. See, a camel is tall. And man used camel, of course, many times, and even in Jesus' day, and back in those days, and even in today. But they used the camel to transport their baggage, or their luggage, or their thing that is too heavy for them. So why do they use a camel? They use a camel because the camel is the stronger of the two. But they cannot reach the camel. So in studying this past week, it says that you roll thy way unto the Lord. When you roll, the metaphor that's given is you take your stuff as you get ready to make your journey, and if you don't realize, you're in the journey of life right now. But you take your stuff and you roll it up onto the camel's back. But the camel has to lie down in order for you to roll your way, roll what you've got onto the camel. God is the same way. He brings himself to a place before you. Listen now, God is a spirit. But he brings himself before you in a way that he lies down so that you can roll your way upon the Lord. And then what you've done is you've given what you've got unto the stronger of the two. You have to roll your way. But in order to roll your way, you have to empty yourself unto the Lord. Psalms 55:22 says, listen, now this is for the Christian. This is not for the lost person. A lot of time it's used for that interpretation, but it is not. I'll show you. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Well, somebody ought to shout. Yeah. Because he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He's saying, give it to me. Commit thy way unto me. But you're going to have to empty yourself unto the Lord. Give it to him. And he will sustain thee. Which means he will keep you. And he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Let me ask you a question. Those of you who are called Christians and label yourself as such, you've been moved around a lot lately? He didn't say that he would not suffer the unrighteous to be moved. He said, but I will not suffer the righteous to be moved. Your way is righteous or unrighteous. There's no other way. And if you're being moved around and pushed around and kicked from one place to the other, God has told us, I'll sustain you. And I will never suffer the righteous to do it. Now, there's a lot into that. I can't get into that today. But it's just food for thought. You must empty yourself unto the Lord. But it also says that you should establish yourself to Him. Now, watch this. Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works, which is your way, but commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. I want you to lend a very close and careful ear here. This church was established in 1912. Before that date, Lebanon Free Will Baptist Church, or this church, was just a thought. That's all it was. Had not this church ever been established, then this church today would only be a thought if it had not already died with the one who was thinking about it. But because this church became more than a thought, it was established. And because it establishes, we are able to enjoy the establishment of this church. Because it became more than just a thought. And listen, today, you think you're going to do this and you think you're going to do that. But until you commit thy works, your way unto the Lord, it will always be nothing more than a thought. It is time that God's people find establishment in their life. Be settled. Be in one accord. And serve God with all you have. Get established. Stop taking all the time you've got just to sit and think. Take your thoughts and let them become actions, and then they become established. Until, you know why Christians have so much, listen, you can have salvation and never have establishment. Hear me. You can well be on your way to glory and never be established as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the problem with God's church today. God's people cannot become established. And because they're never settled with one another, because they never become one with one another, it is nothing more than problem, after split, after split. By God, it's time for God's people to get established and commit thy works unto the Lord. Amen. Now that's all. We can get down to business. You try me. I want everybody to come up here and prepare one message and preach one service. You'll sit there with more admiration and respect than you've ever had before. Amen? God kept me up all night long last night with a throwing daughter in my hand. She wasn't throwing balls. But He kept me up all night so I could stay focused on this message. You always take the bad, make it good. Take the negative and make it positive. But He doesn't stop there with just committing thy way unto the Lord. He says in the second part, to fulfill that, you must trust also in Him. Now, let me show you something very important this morning. Look at it this way. Everything you've got, How many of you this morning would stay here this morning, preacher, I don't have everything I want, but I've got everything I need. Will you put your hand up? Amen. He will take, if you'll do this morning, hear me now, because I'm going to tell you what, if you do this morning, and you do exactly what the Word says, and it don't work, I'll quit this church when you quit. Because I'm not going to serve a God who's going to fail me. That's out, buddy. I'm not doing it. I'll go out there and I'll feed the flesh. And I'll live the life that this flesh wants to live. And I'll do the things that Mac wants to do. Not a God who will fail me. But I'll tell you today, He's never failed. He has never failed me. And He won't fail you today. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll take your way and commit it unto the Lord, but in the process, He said, trust also in Him. That means that if you take everything you've got this morning, everything you've got, and you just slide it over to the Lord, you give it to Him and say, Lord, heal. He said that's going to drive some people crazy. But let me tell you, but let it drive. Amen. But the thing is, He is supreme administration. Is over everything you've got. This is the day. You don't believe what I'm saying. His supreme administration. He's got the whole world in His hands. Amen? Hey! And He's got you in His hands. And He said, no one can pluck you from me. That ought to make you come alive. His supreme administration. You mean to tell me? Hey, how many of you lost money in this bit of a recession in 09? Come on, put your hand up. Retirement, anything. Hey, commit it unto the Lord and it'll do nothing but multiply. Multiply. We've lost so much, but that's because it has not been committed. We have to trust in Him. But watch this. Let's get personal for a minute. How many of them, be honest, let's get down to the nitty gritty. How many of you in here have made a resolution, I'm going to quit smoking this year? Put your hand up. All right. That's good. Commit it to the Lord. And you this next year, you'll be able to rejoice because you quit. Leave it to you. And you won't. How many of you, come on, how many of y'all have committed to lose some weight? I'll put my hand up. Come on, that's all. Let's hear from where I stand. Some of y'all better get on board. Hey, you need to at least try. Come on. We can get you an E for effort. Something. If you commit that to the Lord, hear me now. If you commit that, if I, Pastor Mac, commit that to the Lord, I'll promise you I'll lose it. Come on now. Now watch this. How many of you have made a resolution that you're going to change your attitude and get a better attitude this year? Raise your hand. Can I draft some? Hey, if you commit it to Him, you'll change. You want to tell you why? I'm going to just share three things with you. Now, I'm not big on all of these things, okay? Let me just be honest with you. Ready? God don't smoke. God's not overweight. And God don't have a bad attitude. So when you say, God, I want to be more like You, I commit my way unto You, Lord. God, will You help me? He says, no problem. If that's all he had to worry about, be in good shape. Now, I figure to be speaking, he don't worry about anything. But if that's all he had to battle against, no problem. That's a big deal to us because it's our entire life. To him, that's just one small facet in this whole ship. But I'm going to tell you, he'll help you. Trust also in the Lord. But guess what? Now, you want to tell me, I love when God gives us something to be able to try us by the fire. Watch this now. I'm going to be able to know this year And you're going to be able to know this year who took this message to heart. I love it. Watch this. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Guess what happens when you take this message to heart and you commit your way to God like Paul did? You will become a confident, for I am persuaded, Paul said. In whom I believe, Paul said, that he is able to keep it until that day. But he before that says, and I am not ashamed. I'm about to see this church bust loose in the sea. Because, listen, there's going to be some confident and courageous Christians. And I'm going to tell you what, people want what you've got. They can't find it out there, no way. Some of you have searched every aisle on Walmart nearly every day in 09. And you hadn't found it yet. You can't find it nowhere else but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm telling you, listen, we need to be a courageous people. I'm not ashamed. We need to be a confident Christian. Listen, I don't want to see Christians backing up on him. Listen, I know we outnumbered, but we got Jesus. We should not be cocky, but we should be confident in the Lord. And that's what Paul was, because he had committed it unto the Lord. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Listen to this for me. Let me tell you how Paul was able to go. Watch this. I'm almost done. Bear with me. You've eaten so much this past week or two. You don't need nothing today. There's one or two. We need to make a resolution. I'm going to be honest this year. Amen. Hey. Now watch this. He said, he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Let me tell you how you live your Christian life. You hear me, church? Paul was able to do this because he knew that as long as he worked righteous works and he committed all that he had unto the Lord, he was just as safe here on earth as he was in the presence of God in heaven. Where have you ever read in the Word of God that God's holding anything back from you just because you're here on earth? He said, I give you everything you need. Listen, if you've forgotten, the third part of the Trinity of God is living in you. How can you tell me we can't live courageous and confident Christian lives? God liveth in us. We are the whole, we are the temple in which he dwells. I'm so excited. And we should not hide. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. Boy, that gives me confidence. I'm telling you. And he shall bring it to pass. I'm almost done. Here we go. Don't you go to sleep on me. He shall bring it to pass. In the Hebrews, this section means that he will work for you. Watch this now. God Almighty working for you. Let me give you an example of that as we wind down and close this morning. Joshua 10, verses 8 through 14. Let me give you a little bit of an intro. Joshua and the Israelites are in Canaan, and they have had great victories thus far. But now they've come to a place where these five kings come together, and they are about and willing to stand up against Israel and Joshua and fight. Now, I want to show you something that I believe will change your way of thinking. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. Listen to me. Joshua, he wasn't encouraging Joshua on this day to commit his way unto him. He already had. He says, into thine hand, there shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord, listen to this, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up from Bethoron and smote them to Ezekah and unto Medekah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down from the going down to Bethoron, and the Lord cast down, listen to this, and great stones from heaven fell unto them, and they died, and they were more which died with hailstones than they which Israel, the children of Israel, slew with their sword. Listen to that. There were many people killed by the swords of Israel. But he said, more died from what God was doing for them than what they could do for themselves. You need to take hold of that. And it said, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, listen to what Joshua said and listen to what God did. Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people have avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. Because watch this. For the Lord fought for Israel. He fought for them. Because they had committed thy way unto the Lord. Because they also trusted in him. He brought it to pass. You cannot carry the load. He says, roll it on me. I will get in a position, I will lie down in a place to where you can roll it to the stronger of the two. Trust me, you're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to wait. It's not going to be in your time. It's not going to be in your way, but it'll be in mine. He fought for them. In the Hebrew, when he brought it to pass, he worked for Israel. And he accomplished more than they ever could. What would have happened that day had Israel not committed thy way unto the Lord? What would have happened if those hailstones miraculously would not have showed up? What would have happened had Joshua had to fight them in the dark instead of the day? Who would have been triumphant? Only God knows. But I will tell you today, you sit in your pew and you suffer and you wear yourself out when God is saying, listen, call a timeout. Commit thy work, thy way unto me. Trust me, and I'll bring it to you. He will accomplish that thy faith has laid upon him. He's going to accomplish in your life how much you believe and trust in him. If you have little faith, you're going to have little results. Because faith is thy victory. But he will never fail you. But this morning, you have to permit him before he can perform. And when you do that, hear me this morning, when you do that, you're going to know what it feels like to go the distance in 2020. Will you stand with me and pray? Heads bowed, no one looking around, just in a moment of prayer. Every Christian here is praying. Father, you know me better than anyone else. You know my strengths. You know my weaknesses. You know the very thing that hinders me the most. God, you know my temptations. You know what causes me to slip and fall. God, you know that one thing that's in my life this morning. If it were not for that, if it were not for him or for her, if it were not for that situation, God, if it were not for that, you know that I could go on and serve you and be the kind of man or woman you've called me to be. God, you've told us in your word that you would always make a way of escape in that temptation. God, you've told us to love our brother, love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Lord, you've told us to love you with every fiber of our being. And this morning, God, the concealment has been broke. I'm confiding in you, and I know that I cannot keep going like I'm going. God, my reputation has been tainted, but you said that you would rebuild and reconstruct our character. You've told us, Lord, in your word that you would sustain us. God, you've promised that. God, you've promised that you would bring it to pass. God, so that means this morning that whoever's here, for whatever be the reason, whatever it is that they are dealing with this morning, whatever that may be, whether it be the fault, the words, their living, their relationship, not only with you, but with man, that habit that they have, God, you've told us this morning you can live that way if you want to, but if you want to do something about it this morning, that you've opened the gate of heaven, and you're going to flood us this morning with your presence and your power and your authority over all things. God, I pray this morning as your people that you would open our eyes that the blind may see. Open our ears, God, this morning that the deaf may hear. And God, help us this morning as your people realize and recognize that there is nothing more important in this life than to have a secure relationship with you. God, help us to leave here confident, courageous, and your people.